want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
I want to see you.
How do you want to see him then?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Sing holy, holy, holy.
Think about him.
Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
You love him?
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Do you want to see him? Then look into the Word. You'll see him in the Word, right? Amen. You can be seated a minute. Brother Dean has a word he wanted to say to us. So if you would, come on up.
God bless you all. I just want to take this opportunity to thank everybody for all the prayers here and everywhere else was praying for me.
Amen.
Because it was a bad thing. The doctor said that when they found this thing, it was ugly. It was really bad. And I could have died. And if I hadn't had it taken care of, I would have died. But yeah. See, God knew where that thing was at. Satan had it hid. He wanted to kill me. See, but this was for me and for you. It was for all of us. It was partly to bring us all together that we could truly pray for one another sincerely and see God do something. Now, they told me and told my wife that maybe 6 weeks my eyes would start getting better. Well, 6 weeks, I couldn't tell any difference. But just I was talking to people here and thank God for the cards and telephone calls and late at night when you was praying for me, I just can't thank you enough, you know, and praise God enough. But now, they told me that it would be 6 months to a year, and it could go further, could go much further. Well, I can see, if you can see my eyes is healed.
Amen.
Now, this is a miracle. See, the miracle is standing before you.
Amen.
And I wonder how much we recognize it. The miracle, more than one miracle is here, but there's a miracle standing here. I saw it when I went over to see Brother Tom when he was in the hospice. I couldn't hardly stand up and back and forth during the service. I had trouble doing that, but I stood over there, Brother Sam, for hours. Stood there. So and God was trying to show people his healing hand in his miraculous hand. And I don't know if I can get it out, but it fit to me perfectly what Brother Sam preached this morning. I can see this through my whole experience in Christian experience, and I've had many things, but God says, "I'm the Lord thy God that delivers you out of them all." So here stands a miracle. But now I wonder how many of us really believes that and sees that for what it is. But I just wanted to, I knew it was time because he said you put it off long enough. I'm still having trouble stuttering and getting my brain, so your brain has to recompute with your mouth. I'm still having trouble with that, but it's on its way. I had trouble walking, having my eyes and my feet together, but I'm walking. So I want the church to know that none of this being preached is in vain. God, if it was just me, and I know there's many of us, but if it was just me, I see the hand of God
Glory.
In the Word of God And we never know. All things work to the good, together to them. See what I'm saying? But it all works together to the good of them that loves the Lord, which are called according to His purpose. So He even straightened that out. God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen. 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 I believe it, don't you? See Him come on the scene and take care of everything. Because he said he'd do it. He promised it, so we see Him doing it. And then we can't say, well, there's nothing going on, because I believe there is. Because I believe things is going on. Amen. We just appreciate that testimony. Amen. Yeah. And if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1, where we've been reading, and then we'll go to Romans 8. And just remember now that the Lord willing, Brother Prakash will be with us on the 15th of June. That's on a Wednesday. And I think that's the time the sister's going to be gone and things are taking place. But anyhow, I'll take care of him. I told him I'd feed him and everything. I can do that if he comes in early. But, you know, I can go out and buy him something to eat. I can cook his breakfast, but we appreciate Sister Gail, too, for fixing, bringing the flowers and things for us. We really appreciate it. And we said this morning, we appreciate all of the men, the women, and everything around the world that are serving in the military and the things to keep us free, that we can have the opportunity, because had they not been there, so you could say, well, I don't like it because of this, that. Well, if they hadn't been over there, they'd be over here. So we thank God for that part, you know, that it stays over there until, you know, we can get out of here ourselves. But we appreciate it. Appreciate, you know, your thoughtfulness, and I'm sure Brother Dean does, about you praying for him and, you know, and visiting him. And the main thing is praying for him, because that's what'll take care of all things. See, we're not to... I have a little thought coming behind this, but let's don't look over the simplicity of God, trying to find some way. You remember the prophet said, "Look at a blade of grass, you find God." And a simple thing of a child, you know, in their thinking, and find God. You know, it says a child shall lead them. So that's... just think about it in that. And it's, you know, I know one of these days I'll get around to preaching on it, but we just appreciate it. Let's pray and just remember all of these. Remember waiting them on the way home this afternoon out of the service. And remember all of the little bright around the world, because we're all together in one thing, getting ready to get out of here. Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for your testimony through our brother there, Lord, because we were all witnesses to these things and all that the doctors would be saying. But then we believe that you are the healer. You take care of things. You do it in your ways, and all, Lord, you could do it by just instantly taking away. But the prophet of God said that would not bring the faith to us, that sometimes of God just, you just allowing us to go through things, you know, to where we can come forth as a witness. See, that way then man can't deny what's taking place. We love you and we thank you. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts now. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and keep us. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Romans 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption. Now remember, this is our day then. Predestinated unto adoption. This today, all right? Predestinated unto us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now we'll go back to Romans 8. We'll start in verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. See? Not just to say revealed, it shall be revealed in us. are really not even to us. That's fine, but being revealed in us, all right? Watch what he says. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, if you've got a Scofield Bible, you go over in the middle to your little O, and it says the unveiling. The unveiling of the sons of God. See? For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're trying to bring this adoption that we've been talking about into, you know, the placing and the getting into the right place. And, you know, someone pick up just this one message and they hear it. I don't want you to get confused, you know, because I know what the prophet has said. We've given those quotes at previous times, and we will keep giving it, that your adoption is different from your birth. And we know that. We understand that. But then he would turn around and talk about the new birth and bring it in. And we're just trying to bring it in a way to get an understanding. So we've using it as we have many times, even back many, many, many years ago, probably 40, talking about the adoption in stages to where that we can have an understanding of, like, first identity of the Lord Jesus on the River Jordan, and then the recognition of the fact that when he came to the Mount of Transfiguration experience, and then going on to and the change of the body. So then it would be taught in that way, or in a progressive understanding, you know, growth developments, all of those words to try to get a better understanding of what we're talking about. But we read here where it says that, you know, this, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. In other words, the creation is the translation there, which means everything, you know, the animals, the world, the mankind, the situations, and it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, as I said this morning, is the world waiting to come to an end? Is the animals waiting for a great destruction to wipe out, you know, the existence of things on the earth like it will come one day? I don't think that's the understanding, do you? It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I know I've given a quote, if not, we'll find it for you. See, it's waiting for the time to deliver nature. Nature's not groaning to be destroyed. The world, animals, etc., everything's not wanting to be destroyed. It's wanting to be delivered. See, and that's what's to take place in the last days. But then you've got to remember to keep it in the right order, that it will only be just for a short period of time. And then the world and all creation will be destroyed. Right? Armageddon will take place and things will be transpiring. But the point that the Bible is saying is it's waiting for the time to deliver. In other words, this is a key thing. All right? The time that we're talking about now is, to me, the key that the whole Bible is tied into. The place, the position, the doings of where that in this manifestation of the sons of God, it will be a time to deliver nature, and that would be the most valuable or most important thing. Because now listen, we've had the message, we believe that. That's why I keep emphasizing, recognizing your day, the prophet said, and its message. We recognize the message that the prophet brought, we believe that. But do you recognize that this is your day? See, Martin Luther had to recognize that was his day. And when he did, he was able then to protest the Catholic Church, and the people believed it. But do we recognize this is our day? What is our day? We say, well, our day is the day of the change of the body. Amen. Now, that will take place one day. But that's not what the world's waiting on, the change of the body. You know, that's not creation waiting. So it doesn't just say that the children of God are waiting for... It says creation, which means world and cosmos, the animals, the trees, the nature is waiting to be delivered. All right? And see, in doing that, then, you know, we are the ones that it's looking for. So it's not saying that the world is waiting for Malachi 4, Brother Branham, to come. Now we know and believe that if he hadn't come, we wouldn't have what we have, right? But just put the emphasis in the right place. The emphasis in the Bible place, what we're talking about is, if we do not become the sons and daughters of the living God in the basis of what the Bible is talking about, in that position of manifestation, of making him known, where he can make us known, then there is no hope for anybody. Because those that have went on are groaning, crying, waiting for us. You say, well, I just don't see anything going on. Well, open your eyes. Wake up. See? We're looking for something, as I said, instead of looking backward or instead of looking forward, let's just stay with where we're at, because we can't do anything about it. We believe what took place and we look for something to happen. But we're here. And you know, tomorrow will be today. Right? Because that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. See, it moves as we move. So when tomorrow comes, we'll be looking back to today as history. All right? And another day to come. All right? But see, just stay where we're at in seeing that what the world is waiting on. As I said, if you've got your Scofield Bible, you look there in the middle with a little circle around it showing that he's giving you the understanding of what the world is waiting for, the unveiling of the sons and daughters. Now, it just says sons of God. So I hope the sisters don't get upset and say, well, it don't say nothing about the women. You know, but that's just the way the Bible's written. See? It's the sons and daughters of a living God, because I believe you sisters have just as much right to speak the word as we do. That's what I've been kind of, you know, ridiculed a little bit maybe by some people for believing it. But I believe that Adam was there, could name the animal, that's right. But he couldn't bring a baby. Whether it come right or wrong, he couldn't bring it. And he couldn't have brought it if it hadn't, you know, if the sin hadn't happened, he couldn't bring it. That's what Eve was put there for. She had her part. She was co-equal with him there until the fall came, all right? But see, keeping it in the right order to where that we can understand. All right, we preached about that, you know, that the prophet of God said that what is the manifestation? He said it's the making known. See? All right, I've tried to explain that. Emphasize the point that if we make him known, by preaching, teaching, talking, the sisters talking to one another, are you talking to your children, are you know, all the whole thing of Christianity is we make him known. All right? And see, then he makes us known by signs and wonders and by things taking place. All right? See, then that way it's the understanding that the world is waiting on you and I to make him known. Now, I hope you follow me, see? Because it doesn't say that the prophet of God was for the perfecting of the saints. According to my Bible, it says the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. But there's one thing for certain. You click it off on your internet, but listen to this before you click it off, you know, hearing. There's one thing for certain, you and I, no preachers, none of us wouldn't have had anything had the prophet if he hadn't have brought it. So the emphasis goes on, and you know where he's at? He's in the body of Christ. He is in the fivefold ministry because he could fulfill any part of the fivefold ministry in his doings because of where he was at. So when I say the fivefold ministry, I'm talking about him. But I'm talking like Brother Branham said. He said, the fivefold ministry. He said, they said, will the bride have a ministry? He said, sure. She consists of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. See, that's what she consists of. Because all around the world, there's people that are, you know, depending on the ministry to break down the prophet's message. We don't have to explain it. See? But break it down, speak on it long enough till the Holy Spirit can explain it. And to where we can get the revelation of it, all right? See, then that's what the world is waiting on. Waiting on you and I to find our place. All right? You say, well, we've been talking about these things for 40 years, yeah. But they're coming to pass, too. And it's been coming to pass. That's what my emphasis has been lately on. Not to say something to come or something that has been. It's looking at what's taking place now. See? You say, well, I just don't see nothing. Well, then you're blind. You wouldn't have seen anything when Jesus was there. Come on, how long could we stand and talk about Brother Branham, what he would say about the Apostle Paul? Said it sure did look bad in the days of Paul when he come to the end of his ministry, that he was down in jail, didn't even have a coat to stay warm with, had to send a brother after it or tell him to bring it with him. A physician that where he used to be, just speak and people would die and things would happen because it's against him, or sick would heal, you know, the sick was healed. Great. But said in his last days he's sitting down in the jail saying, I'm cold, bring my coat. But you know, that's when Brother Branham said, he looked up and he said, death, where's your sting? When he was fixing to get his head cut off. Why? See, the way we look at it, Paul would have walked up to that old guillotine or what it was and just laid down there and said, fall. No guillotine go, doop, and just stop. Doop, and stop. Well, bring in a guy with an axe. He go, doop, and he just stops. You know. See, that's what we think it ought to be. But no, God had a plan. Paul was working, as we said this morning, all things work to good. Look at the Lord Jesus in the last of his ministry. Look at Brother Branham, bring it down more personal to where we can understand. Look at him in the last days of his ministry when he used to preach to 500,000. He used to preach to 1,000, maybe 2,000, 5,000. In his last days, he may be 25 in a little old trailer out there. And he came down to the spoken word. Right? And how many accounts do you have that he told of the spoken word? Come on. It was only, what, 5 times? Maybe 7, or whatever you want to call it, 20 if you want to call it, 50 if you want to call it. No problem. But I'm talking about, it looked like the greater part of Brother Brown's ministry was in his early ministry when he would just simply stand there and say, I take every spirit under my control, and demons are just leaving, and sick was healed, and dead was raised, and just all kind of things. Yeah. But see, we look at it wrong, don't we? So let's just don't miss this one, all right? Because we can't afford it. All right. But see, what I want to do is just give you, yeah, we read in the Bible that the whole creation, see, the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'd like to read that to you from the original translation. This is from the original Diglot now, all right, which is translated straight over into English. The original Diglot says, for the earnest desire of the creation, the revelation of the sons of God look for. Now that's the original translation. So if you understand it, for the earnest desire of the creation, the revelation of the sons of God look for. See, that's what everything's looking for, the revelation of the sons of God. All right. See, now so what is it saying? The making known of the sons of God. Now I emphasize again, we can't do anything. But if we make him known, he will make us known. All right. Now, this is the making known of what? The bride of Christ, right? But what is that? The making known of Jesus Christ in his bride. You agree? See? All right, so what are we looking at? Now, Strong's gives you the definition of manifestation, and it says revelation. Be revealed. To lighten, that doesn't mean, you know, to lighten your load. That means to lighten up, you know, to illuminate or bring into view. It means manifestation. It means coming. I thought we were looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought he had to come here before we could go there. All right. It means appearing. That's what manifestation means, appearing. I thought we believed that he would appear in the last days and at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought we were in the scriptures to believe it. But what it means too, it means to lay something bare. You know, it means to actually make something naked. The word manifestation, it actually means to make something, to lay it bare, or to actually to make it naked. You say, well, why would it be doing that? See, because what it's doing, it's bringing it out from undercover. You understand? See, when you bring something out from undercover, you lay it bare. You open it up. This is the day when the sons and daughters of God are to open up, enlightened by the eye of revelation, and to open up and to bring God not naked, but to bring him into the bases that you can see him. Amen. Right? See? Lay it open to the eye. To where there's nothing to cover. Naked means there's nothing. See, in this there's probably water. I can't see it. I'd have to taste it to know. But if it would be some way to remove this outside shell without the water spilling all over the place, then see, I would lay that bare and it would be naked before my eye. In other words, I could see it. All right, let's give you some more definitions of, let me finish that one off of Strong's. It means a disclosure of truth. Now, manifestation, this is out of your Strong's, number 602, if you want to look it up. A disclosure of truth. So I thought we were to preach Jesus Christ. Instruction concerning things before known. Now, you can use that two ways, either way, so it wouldn't matter. So before known would mean that it was known once before, which it was in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Right. Or before known to be down here, that it means it's coming into a place of illumination today to be made known right now, that it was never known before. So either way, you take the definition of what the person is saying. It says it's used, now manifestation, is used of events by which things or states or persons hitherto withdrawn from view, see, are made visible to all manifestation or appearance. See, we're not here to... Adoption, as I've tried to tell you, is not the father going off the scene, you know, and the son coming on the scene. I've never preached that. The 40-something years I've been preaching, I've never preached nothing like that because I didn't believe it then and don't believe it now. I believe adoption is the Father coming on the scene in the Son, because that's what happened when Jesus was God made manifest in human flesh. What will the bride of Christ be in the last days? God made manifest. I tried to say that many years ago. Well, no, it's the Father's going off. Oh, I got a quote here where the Father, he's just leaving. What? It's not... See? All right, listen to what... I'll give you some other Bibles. I like that. I've got a book there. It's called 26 Translations of the Bible. And I really love to look at what other translators say beside the King James Version. I stay with the King James Version because I believe it. All right? But I still like to read other translations to see what they hold. And you'd be surprised sometimes what you can receive from it. Taken from the New Testament that was translated or brought forth by J.B. Rotherham, This is what manifestation, or what that scripture is saying, of the manifestation of sons of God. For the eager outlook of creation ardently awaiteth the revealing of the sons of God. So the world is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Another translation, which is the Epistle of Paul, which was written, Epistles of Paul, which was written by W.J. Cornbarn, B-E-A-R-N-B-E-A-R-E, Cornbarn. It says, for the longing of the creation looks eagerly for the time when the glory of, in parentheses, the sons of God shall be revealed. Huh? Good points, isn't it? Revised Standard Version. More modern translations, right? It says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The Amplified Version says, for creation waits expectantly for God's sons to be made known, waiting for the revealing, the disclosing, you know, bringing out, disclosing, if I, my words are sometimes, I can't pronounce them correctly, but waiting for the revealing or disclosing of their sonship. So they're holding a pretty good point, isn't it? Phillips' translation, which is the Bible, you know. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. I like to read those because I like to see the comparison, to see how they hold a point, you know. All right? And they all was pointing, each of the translations, and that's all that's given. See, if it's 26 translations, doesn't mean I got to buy a book with 26 translations. It'd be that tall, you know. It means if there's any different in variation in it, they give the difference in variation. But if every one of them said the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of sons of God, they don't put that in there because that's already in one doing. See, it's just giving you something where they have different variations of speech. All right? But now, listen. So then the world is waiting for you and I to reach a place, a position. We'll come down to that in the message today if you watch it real close. And you'll see where Brother Rand places the things as to where it to be. But I want you to just think about it. I believe that this is the most special place. Now, this is Brother Dale's personal opinion. I believe if the sons and daughters of God, as I said a moment ago, cannot come to the position of sonship in the order that's supposed to be, then there will be no future. There is no future home. There is no past, no present, no nothing. It's all hinged on whether or not we can reach that. May not be but two of us. You notice I said us. Because I'm fully contented, as the prophet said. If there's not but one in Georgia going, I'm the one. You're going to have to get you another state. That's the way I got to believe it. All right? But that's the way you got to believe it. All right? See? All right? So then the world is waiting on you to reach a place. Well, I just don't see how in the world we can. Well, all right. We preached there the other week that Brother, or Wednesday, I guess it was, or last Sunday, whenever I was preaching a couple of weeks ago, that even persecution, I believe it was this past Wednesday, persecution is brought upon us for a reason, right? To drive us to a place. The prophet of God said what? See, we talk about desperation, right? All right. Boy, we need to get desperate. Well, I agree with you. But now, do we go to the prophet and say, now, Brother Branham, what is the definition of desperation, and what is the definition of how we attain unto desperation? So he preaches a message called Desperation. And you know on that message, you remember what he said? He said, we can't get desperate until he brings it to us. But he said now, quote, listen. But he said, as much as we've seen of God and his manifestation, it ought to bring us to desperation. See, now I put it all together, but everybody thinks that it's, I'm trying to do that. But that's in the same book, the same message. See? But the point is not to just say, well, we'll just sit down and wait on God then. One of these days he'll make us desperate. He gets ready, I'm ready. Well, now that's the kind of person for 40 years has gone off into isms and schisms and followed after all kind of doctrines and look back and look forward. But the little true bride is going right on down the road. That no matter what takes place, we're still the same people. All right? But see, now let's get to point. You and I are in a special place, and we are a special people. That all the things of life, the world, etc., is waiting on a little bride. A little bride to be able to handle, for lack of words that I could use, the Word of God. Handle means, you know, that you get a hold of something. What I mean by it is to not to go in fanaticism with it. It's very easy to take the Bible and go into fanaticism. I've talked to people, I told you, I talked to a preacher one day, and he was a Pentecostal preacher. And he said, I'm not working on commanding the devil. He said, I've done that. He said, I'm working on commanding the Lord. I said, so long. I didn't talk to him no more. Well, I don't want to talk to him anymore. If he's going to command the Lord, he might command him without me. No, I wasn't scared of him. I just wouldn't want to talk to him no more. Why? Because when a man gets that foolish, what can you say? You know, bad as one boy told me one time, he said, the end of the world is here. And I said, well, glory, I believe it too. He said, yep, because them buzzards is laying 3 eggs. I said, well, would you mind explaining? You know, what do you mean? He said, well, you know in the Bible where it takes all them buzzards to eat up the bodies? He said, buzzards used to have one, but I was a little different with him. I used to be around buzzards. I've seen them all my life. And we never did go around. Us kids, we'd go around the old home place. We'd find a buzzard. So, well, they generally had more than one, but I didn't argue with him on how many they had. I was just wanting to hear what he said. He said, they got to have all them buzzards to eat up the bodies. Okay. You know, that didn't make me too happy. You know, I didn't feel no great revelation, no thing over it. And I wasn't laughing at him either. Because that's, you know, and I actually heard a person say one time, and it was one of them said like this. He said in the Bible where it says, watch and pray, which was the same guy that told me. And he said, you know what that means? I said, well, I think I do. But what are you saying? He said, well, watch and pray means you keep one eye open while you're praying. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good point, you know. I mean, take it literally. And I'm not joking now. These things happen, all right? But listen, folks. The Bible's not waiting on stuff like that. It's not waiting on the fanaticisms that's followed this message. This went off into polygamies. This went off into millions following people, you know, and all like that, and around the world, and brother so-and-so is the man that took over when Brother Branham left, you know, and this, that, or the other. That's not what the world is waiting on. It's waiting on sincere, honest-hearted, good people that will take the Word of God and just simply stay with it when everybody else has to run out on their own and do things, you know. But just keep on being Christians day after day, and just keep believing God and just keep worshiping God and just saying, well, Lord, now I'm not making fun of them. That's the way they believe. You know, I just don't believe it that way. You know, and it's not waiting on something that we think is great big, you know. It's what I said. You see them in the message, see. And a young guy will come along and, boy, he's got a little charisma or what you call it, you know, charismatic part, ever how you pronounce those big words, and all the people just flock with him. This is what's going to take us out of here. Well, then maybe year or two later, you see him kind of, and then they're with him, and then they're going back where they come from or going to other places. See, no, it's not that. But you see, we think it's some kind of a great big thing that we can't attain unto. Now, let's don't make it that way either. I thought the prophet of God said a Christian life was one that could jump up in the air, shout, glory, hallelujah, but walk straight and they come down. To me, that was a great definition. Just to be able to walk straight when you come back down to earth, you know, and just be yourself. And that way you don't get all exalted and blowed up about it. You just go on being yourself. Okay, all right, we get off of that. But see, what I want to talk about, and I want to try to hold it to a point now. I don't want to go over into, we're going to read a little about Matthew 17, but I don't want to go there with it tonight, I mean today, all right? We'll take a message on that. But what I want you to do is just kind of hold a point right here. And I'll give you the emphasis of the number, one of on your notes, to where that you'll kind of follow me in the line that I'm going, because we talk about adoption. And I said, we've been in the process of adoption. All right? But there is a completion of it. All right? And I'm wanting to see more of God moving, and et cetera, the great things happening. All right? But I realize, too, that we must wait on Him to be able to go forth. Brother Branham never run out in his first ministry, you know, and bless God, I'll take every spirit in here under my control. I've seen people and heard people say that, you know, and it didn't amount to anything. But see, after a while, he come to the place that when he said that, he had every spirit in there under his control, because he's tutored and trained and brought to the place, right? But you see, now, let's get what the prophet, and I said, don't try not to go up to Matthew 17. Don't try to go there as much in your mind and thinking. Just kind of hold into the life of Jesus and understand that, like I said this morning, that from the time he started on the River Jordan, as we call it, there's some like 3 years before you come up to Mount of Transfiguration, and there's only like 5 or 6 months from Mount of Transfiguration going on to Calvary. All right? So then he was in the tutorship for about 3 years under his ministry and the things. But what was taking place? Sick was being healed. Dead was being raised. Do you read, as I was saying a moment ago, do you read that when he went to Calvary, when he went to Pilate and them, when those people were beating him, did he just say, "Dow!" And they're killed? Now, that didn't happen. Had it happened, we wouldn't be here. See? It looked like he was in an utter defeat. Because the sick being healed, the dead being raised, and all was taking place back here during the time of his tutorship. I can't get away from that, because, see, people keep saying, "Well, there 40 years and ain't nothing been going on." I differ with you 100%. 1,000, if I could say it, or 1,000,000. Because I got all the Bible and the prophet to stand behind me to say it on. Look at Brother Branham in his early ministry, as I said a moment ago. Sick, healed, dead, raised, and things. But then when he gets to his Mount of Transfiguration experience, which we'll place that as much as we can, which I believe was when he went to met the angels out there and come forth with the seals to bring forth, because we'll prove it with the Bible. All right? All right? But look at the time before then. That in the 30-something years he was preaching before he comes to the opening of the seals. There's where the dead was raised, the sick was healed, etc., of great mass numbers. But when he comes to the opening of the Word, it seemed like it's smaller amount of numbers. See, we look at it and think it ought to be reverse. But that's our carnal conception. See? But he knew the will of the Father, and he only done what the Father said. That's why Jesus, when he got up there, he never spoke no more. Very little is said from the time he left the Mount of Transfiguration to Calvary. You study your Bible, very little is said. They'll even come to the place, you know, that he wouldn't even open his mouth. Why? Because the Father said, don't do it. In the garden, he had yielded himself to where he was under complete obedience. And the Father never said a word, so it wasn't spoken. See, we look at things and try to get it into some super place that we can't never attain. No. You got to bring it down to the simplicity of life, but don't make it so simple until it's like we just fall into it. You know, it's just, hey, we're here. Like I told you the other day, people say that I am up here right there at Brotherly Kindness. I'm right there because that's the age I was born in. That don't give you brotherly kindness. That's no more than Philadelphia up yonder has got it. Because that's what the word Philadelphia means, brotherly kindness or brotherly love. You go up there and walk down the streets and you better keep your money in your front pocket. Think too much brotherly kindness. Right? But now listen. Let's just read something the prophet said. It'll take it kind of an overview. Then we're going to drop back. It's kind of like a view of looking at it. Then we're going to drop back. And then we're going to be in discovering things about it. So, all right, this is from the message, Hear Ye Him. And I would invite you to. You've got an opportunity. You don't have to study for a sermon. You've got an opportunity. I don't know really how many messages they are called Hear Ye Him, just on that title. So you got an opportunity to click on your computer, run it up, and listen to Hear Ye Him for 24 hours a day for quite a while. Did it take you to listen to all of the Hear Ye Hymns? And I'd invite you to do that. Then go to the adoption. Go to blasphemous names. Go to stature of a perfect man. We'll read something from blasphemous names, the Lord willing, we get time. But look what the prophet said. Hear Ye Him, 1957, 519, the A part of it. Now, I want you to notice what a beautiful thing. When this son was adopted, the ceremony was said and the people stood by to witness. Then that father adopting that son into his own family to which he was born. Now see, you're born. When you are born again in the Spirit of God, then you are adopted or placed into the body of Christ positionally. See, you're born again and then adopted or positionally placed into Christ positionally. And with this adoption taking place, that boy's name was just as good on the check as his daddy's was. All right? Now that's a place to be reached. All right? You know, we go through life and we, you know, you can put on your checkbook. You know, you go down and you give the permission and you put your children's okay on there for them to sign a check. Right? But you see, it's because you give them the authority. Huh? You give them the authority. See? All right? Now, watch that as we go along. I remember Miss Cash, back then she just didn't do it, but Miss Cash would sign Herman Cash by Mrs. Herman Cash. You know the bank at Pisat? They wouldn't do it today, would they? Because her name wasn't on anywhere to write a check. They had to have trouble when Mr. Cash passed away to get everything cleared because her name wasn't on there that way. But you see, it was giving permission is the point. When a child of God is born into the family of God, see, it has certain rights and things. But when the adoption comes, it will come to where that their name is as good on the checkbook as the father. All right? But before we can come to that position, you read all these things. Go on down to number 2 and you'll see what actually takes place when we receive the new birth. This is the message, Jesus Christ the Same, 1955, 603. Anything that was included in the atonement is the personal property of every believer. I love that. When a man gets saved, or a woman, boy or girl, God gives them a checkbook, as it was, with Jesus' name at the bottom of every check, for anything redemptive blessing that Jesus died for. It's your personal property. Don't be afraid to fill it out. The bank of heaven will recognize it. All right? I say Brother Dick would get up, you know, and he would take and say, okay, now I'm going to pass out checks today. Well, he could take checks and pull them out. Sister Gail said, leave your money alone. But he could pass out checks to everybody in the building, right? Nobody can't cash it, right? No problem, right? But what if he signed his name at the bottom? My wife will tell me sometimes we're starting to go to the bank, you know, to deposit. She'll say, here, she gets the things, I'm going to deposit. She says, here, go ahead and sign the check. So I said, no, I'm not going to sign it until I get there. A very sensible thing. You know what? I could have a wreck. And you know what? Anybody coming along could reach in there in my pocket and get the check and go write what they wanted to. Wouldn't do very good, but, you know, it probably got a little rubber in it if it got very big. But the point is, don't sign the check till you get ready to lay it down at the bank. You give somebody a check, you just remember, you're gambling. It's truthful. He said, oh, my children, I can trust them. Well, all right. There's a lot of children I wouldn't trust. Right? See? You know what I mean? Just be sensible. All right? But you see, when you're a Christian, God don't worry about you whether you're going to write a bad check or not. Right? And here's what Brother Brandon would say. Why ask for little things? He said, ask for the windows of heaven to be open and poured out upon you. Right? Yep, thank you, Brother Dick. The amen. But you understand, see? And don't worry about it. Like the fellow said one time, said, and Brother Brandon actually said it, said, God would bankrupt heaven. And the streets are paved with gold, so it'd take quite a while, but he'd bankrupt heaven to back up a check that he told you that you could sign. That when you become a Christian, when you become a babe in Christ, God gives you the right to use his name. He signs his name to the bottom. All you got to do is fill out what you want. I need healing. I need deliverance. Whatever you sign, I mean, put on there. He's done signed it down here. That's what he does for you when you're a babe in Christ. He gives you a checkbook because he knows he can trust you that you're not going, even though you're a baby. You may do things wrong and mess up, but still, he knows he can, you know, he gives it right to you. Because the Bible even says he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know what they done by getting the desires of their heart? You remember in the Old Testament? They got the desires of their heart. They wanted meat. You know what happened? Well, they had the meat in their teeth. God come down and destroyed like 20,000 of them or something because of their murmuring and complaining. So be careful about what you're doing. But see, God gives that right to us. So now I gave you a few more, you know, ways of Brother Brown saying it, which is Jehovah Jireh, 1961, 209. That's cut a little off the top of yours, but that's what it is. When God saves a man, he gives him a whole big checkbook. Now at the bottom, it's got everything. The name of Jesus wrote on it at the bottom of the checkbook. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Right? Abraham's seed believes that. Just fill out the check and send it in. The deposit's already made. It's in the bank. He goes on to say, don't be afraid to write the check. The bank will pay it off. Don't be afraid to write the check. Don't be afraid to ask God for healing. See, now we go and we keep a balance because the Bible says don't ask amiss to consume it upon our own lust. Well, see, any Christian shouldn't be wanting to do that. I want my daily bread. I don't want bread for tomorrow. It gets stale. I want my daily bread. But you know, I've never seen the time that he didn't supply it. How about you? All right. So he says, the bank, don't worry about it. The bank will pay it off. He talks about a ceremony and all and taking them out into the public. That's on Hear Ye Hymn number 4, you know. It's 1960, so I'm trying to move up just a hair. Now watch. 806. He takes them out. A certain ceremony is held for the boys. Boy, taken out in the public square and put on a certain royal robe. Now he's coming to the adoption, right? And they've performed, the father did, performed the performance of adoption, and he adopted his own son that he had born. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, that's one thing, you're born. But now for the ceremony of adoption. Then he adopted his boy into his family, and they had a ceremony. And if they'd write checks, see, in other words, if that's the way they done it back then, which we know they didn't, anything that the boy did was just as good. His name was just as good on the check as his father's after that adoption. No. He was heir after the adoption. Galatians says he's no different, see, though he be Lord of all. What? So my point is, now, trying to just get right in here and stay in this place. With me, all right? Stay in the place between the point of where that we have got the checkbook with Jesus' name written on the checkbook, and we fill out what we need. All right. And a certain position, see, to where that it would come to a place that when this adoption is completed in the manifestation of the sons of God, or the recognition stage of adoption, then we don't have to let him sign his name. See, we start out, ask anything in my name. That's scripture. All right. So we ask it in his name, and see, then it's written down. All right. Now, then we can write the check, sign our own name. He said, now if they had checks, in other words. Now, you know what he goes on to explain. I may not have it in here, but you know what he said, what happened back in those days. He said they had a ring. And they had like a wax thing, and you would go in, you know, to do, and you just stuck your hand down, and that ring made an imprint that was made that if your father was okay in you to be able to use that. See, all right? So, but now let's stay in between that, because if we don't, we'll move, I believe, too fast. And that we will jump up into trying to look at something that's a way out there that makes it to where we can't reach it. Now, let's move a little bit at a time and just understand. See? Because there, to me, is the most important part of the journey. The finality of the ring signet, the finality of the Father taking you out and doing that right is wonderful, and all of what we're looking for, yes. But I believe the biggest part of our journey is taking place right now. This is where we're learning the things. This is where we're learning the nature of the Father. Because you're not going to give the signet or checkbook to an unworthy child. Right? They'll go squander it. That's what happens to people. That's why Brother Ernie told us, and very wisely, he said, don't send those people over in those foreign countries a large amount of money. They don't know what to do with it. He said, they'll just go out and buy everything. He said, send them what they have need of. And said, they'll learn to use it. Well, wise decision. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. People win the lottery. And they get $1 million or something. And they just go squander it. Like we were talking last night. And Terrence was talking about a neighbor over there that had won the lottery and bought a home just past us there. $250,000 house or whatever they gave, close to that. Out of a $500,000 lottery, which she probably wound up getting $350,000 after paying taxes, maybe. I don't know the run, but anyhow. And they got motorcycles, they got trucks coming in with furniture, and they lived in a... Danny could tell you about it, but well, I don't know where they live, but she's a cook over there in a little old cafe. And they won this lottery. Well, they just, you know, just, like Terrence says, they just said, well, you need a thousand, why, here, I'll just give you $1,000. Because they don't know what to do with it. Because it's all free anyway. They didn't work and put it in the bank. If you work and put it in the bank, you'll be a little easier about writing it out. Right? Because you're going to have to work and put more back.
But when it's just lumped on you, well, that's the way God does. God don't just lump it on us. Right? He gives it according to what we can handle. And that's my problem. Maybe I can't. He knows I can't handle it, so he just gives me a little bit every once in a while. But still, I thank God he's my daddy, and he gives it to me. You know. But, see, people couldn't stand it. You give some people the authority of preaching the gospel or a pastor of a church, and what would they do with it?
Exactly right.
See? Like my wife and them's always saying, if Richard says it and she said it, she said, if I was pastor up there, I said, I'd done run everybody off. So that's what she said, and that's what Richard said. So, you know, you argue with them two about it. You know, I said, that's why you're not pastor. That's a pretty good reason. Because, you know, we're not here to run everything off. We're here to try to instruct.
Right. Amen.
Well, bless God, if you don't believe it, forget it. Well, bless God, I remember when you didn't believe it. There's the problem. I'm too old, folks. I've had people right here to come and say, boy, I tell you, I don't understand why that brother didn't understand that water baptism. The first time I heard it, I done it.
Yeah.
I can remember the day I started talking to you, and 2 years later, you finally got baptized. I can't help it. I can remember. All right? But you see, we all think we're just super duper. So that throws it away to where it's the real thing. God can't trust people like that. And he has to bring, as we were bringing this morning, what? Heartaches and troubles and trials. What to do? To build his nature into us. Well, Brother Dale, it looked like he just flood us with things. Yeah, and we'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. Right? So he doesn't do it. But in your early, now everybody ought to relate to this. Let's see if you can. The early part of your Christian journey, you're a babe in Christ, right? You'd ask God for something, he'd just come do it. You remember that? You remember when you first got saved? I mean, for maybe a year or something like that, 6 months to a year, it was just like, you know, you were just living in a world. There was nothing could bother you. And something would go wrong, you'd just say, oh, that's just a trial. My daddy's doing that, you know. He's doing these things for my benefit. About a year later, I wonder what went wrong. You know. See? He just floods us when we first get born again. He just pampers us. Just gives it to us. And then we turn around one day and we say, Father, I need so-and-so. He don't say a thing. Or the day or two before, 2 weeks before, you ask him something, he says, yes, son, I'll give it to you. And then you ask him one day and he just don't hear nothing. Can you relate to these things? And you ask him and you ask him and you finally you even beg him. You've never done that, have you? I know. No, I know. You ain't never begged him. Just actually beg him. God, please give me, I need it. Then I heard Brother Branham say one time, he said, if God tells me no, he said, that's just as good as yes. Boy, that didn't suit my old ways of thinking. What about you? But he said it. That if he says no, that means he's right. I don't need it. Well, Lord, I need this, that, or the other. He says, you can't handle it. Now, I know Hope, by the time she's 10 years old, she said, Daddy, I need a car. What kind of car are you going to give me? He was going to give her no car. He might have even bought her a car, you know, or you may do that with your kids. That's your car, but it sits under the shed or Daddy drives it. I don't want to drive it. No. There's a little more stipulation to this than that. You know, if you don't make good grades, I'll take the car back. Uh-oh. Now, Daddy, I didn't know we had stipulations on me. Yeah, we have. You understand? You get the point of what I'm trying to say.
God, in our early Christian journey, he just pours things on. Then he begins to seemingly back up. Where before we'd get down and pray and we could just feel his presence and just cry and worship and just... And then we get down and pray and we even cry because we can't pray like we used to pray. That we can't worship like we used to worship. And we wonder, has God left us? That's child training. Right? That's building his nature. You know why? Because he went through it like that. He said, I do nothing until the Father shows me. Don't you think he wanted to heal everybody, save everybody, deliver everybody, whatever? Don't you think so? But he couldn't do it. Do you understand? See? But listen. Get to the place that we can realize that our child training period is a great part of our life. We went around and looked at some land one day and over beyond us there, and the guy that had it for sale or whatever it was came out there and he had old shaggy hair hanging down, you know, looking hippie looking thing, you know. We got in the car and started back around the road, and this ain't been just a few years ago, maybe 10, I guess. We started back around the road and Terrence looked over at him and he said, Daddy, I'm glad you don't look like that. Well, I'm glad I don't too. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'd want to look like that if you did, because I want to look like you. Well, that made a lot of change, you know, a lot of thoughts. See? We talk about our children following in their footsteps, you know, and wondering why they stumble and fall and come to find out we're the ones that making the footsteps in the wrong place. But you understand what I'm trying just to get to a place. See? We can talk about the adoptions. We can talk about the things that we are looking forward to. But just remember, the prophet said, as we read that last one there, that when you're born, then you have the ceremony. And when you have the ceremony, then your name is as good on the checkbook. It's not as good on the checkbook when you're young and starting your Christian journey. It's when you come to the place that the Father can trust you. Now, I gave you a lot of quotes which would be useful in the next two or three messages. But see, look at down at number 5. It says, Hear Ye Him, 1960, 806. Well, that's where, and this is a continuation of the reading of number 4, okay? Well, that's where the church needs to be tonight. It needs to be to a place that God will call you off somewhere and throw his glory over you, spread his power upon you, adopt you, and place you, glory, into the body where when you speak, something happens. That's what the church is needing tonight. Sure, we need that. And I'm looking forward to that. But it's just like I've told you many times, that when I first come into the message, the statements back then were, boy, one of these days we'll speak the word. I made the statement then, I still make it now. I said, you've got to have it before you can speak it. Why are you just being sarcastic? I wasn't being sarcastic, I was being truthful. Because, see, I was looking at things like this. That there's a time going to come, sure, that he can trust us. That he can allow us to write the check and to write our name to it. But it's all tied together in your Christian journey. I like to emphasize things for your understanding to mine. When Brother Branham was speaking to Sister Hattie Wright, have you really read that story? When he was talking to Sister Hattie Wright, he said, you say, you know, whatever you say, I'll speak it behind you. He said she couldn't exactly catch it. Now, what did he say? You go read it. He said, Sister Hattie Wright, or sister, he said, that's thus saith the Lord. She caught it. You know why? Because she'd seen him say, thus saith the Lord, and seen God heal and deliver. See, she needed a little something to help her to believe it. Because this time he was not placing upon thus saith the Lord. Because now remember, when you say thus saith the Lord, when Brother Branham would say, when any prophet says thus saith the Lord, you know that's not that prophet talking. Now come on. That's not them talking. If I said now, Brother Dick, I want to tell you something. This is what Brother Colley told me to go tell you. Well, that's not my word. That's Brother Colley's word. Thus saith the Lord is when the Lord is speaking it, but yet it's coming through your lips as from Him, and this is what God says. But it come to a day when the prophet of God said, you don't have to say thus saith the Lord because it's the Lord speaking it. See, Sister Hattie Wright couldn't catch that. She couldn't catch it when Brother Brown said, you say it, I'll say it behind you. But he said, Sister, that's thus saith the Lord. She knew it then. She believed it and she got the salvation of her sons. Now, that's where all of everybody goes and does. Years ago, they backslid. That's what I heard. But it ain't got nothing to do with it. Because it done been said. Amen. See? It's done been said. All right. They may have a hard road or whatever to take place, but it's done been said. Amen. See? Because you can't deny it. All right? But now listen. So just think about it. Let's see, I'm trying to just jump down now. So you take these home, will you bring them back? We'll get on to them Wednesday a little bit. But I'm trying to drop down to blasphemous names. It's number 9 on your notes. Because I want to tie it together with this. There's some quotes in between there that were that it's speaking of the fact of how the child can, that you have the right to use Jesus' name. And he signs a check. All right. But then there comes a time to where you can sign the check. All right? But you see, that's your adoption. That's your headstone adoption. That's the part of adoption when God comes down and unites with the individual. And I'll get to that. That's not just a part of your journey. That's getting into the climax of your journey. Jesus never had a Mount of Transfiguration experience when he first started. He had a River Jordan experience. Then 3 years later, he had a Mount of Transfiguration experience. Place it correctly. See, we come in as babies and we get into it and we read a little bit about what the prophet said and said, oh, look at there, my name just as good as his is. I've been around and heard these. Boy, bless God, we just speak the word. Well, all these predictions, all these dates and times and things, Lord told me. Well, now the Bible says kill him. Of course, we don't want to be that way, do we? And we're not. But that's what the Bible, we read it this morning. Prophet prophesied the lie, and all he's supposed to be killed. That's what they done with him back there. You know what that done? That done away with a lot of that blabbering. But see, instead of that, we call them brothers. And they make predictions, and then they just make another one. And that don't happen, they just make another one. And all of it is, thus saith the Lord. Lord told me. I believe I got it right this time. Yeah. That's their business. That's there to draw off people. That's there to try you to see what you're going to do about it. All right? But you see, that has a specific position of authority that we'll cover later. But when you come to where that your adoption is the point of Jesus Christ's adoption on Mount of Transfiguration. See? That comes to headstone. That comes to those things. But let's just stick where we're at. Here's blasphemous names, number 9 on your notes. 62, 1104, the morning service. Do you remember over in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, the first verse, and the first to the fifth verse, Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. You heard me, hear ye him. That sermon I just heard about a year ago, preached that, become so popular, hear ye him. The placing of a son in Ephesians 1:5. Now, what's Ephesians 1:5? We read it. Now watch him. He says, the placing of a son in Ephesians 1:5. This is why I keep reading Ephesians 1:5. Because Ephesians 1:5 says God has predestinated us unto adoption of sons. That's for our day and time. See, a family, when a son is born into it, it's a son then. But that son had tutors to raise it. And if that son never did come to be the right kind of a son, he never become heir. But if he was the right son, and the son that would obey his father, then that son was adopted or placed positionally. He become heir of what the father had. And that's what God was doing on Mount Transfiguration when he took his own son after he had been given, after he'd been proven to be the right son, see, and had stood in temptations. He took him, stood all temptations. He took him up on Mount Transfiguration and overshadowed him. You know, in the Old Testament, they took a son, dressed him in a nice pretty garment, and set him out before the public. And they had a ceremony of placing, or we call it adopting, in Galatians there. I kind of think Paul refers to it as adopting sons. Now, by placing a son, ministers will understand the spiritual Bible and spiritual Bible readers, placing this son. In other words, the son was a son when he was born. There's where you Pentecostal people made their mistake. Being born into the family by the Holy Ghost, that's right. But then we must be the right kind of children, tutored by the right tutor. Go on over. Still part of number 9, because that line goes down. Still on blasphemous names. That was on page, we started reading on page 23, went through into 20, we're now on 24 and coming out on to 25. And he tells you what they're doing, but look down at the, now in the Old Testament, when that son was adopted or placed into the family, his name was just as good on the check as his daddy's was. Yes, sir. They didn't have they had a ring in them days, a sign, signet, and they'd spit on it, and Brother Branham does, and spits and shows. That was a signet. That was just he wore his daddy's ring, his signet, and that was just as good as his daddy's. Now, when Jesus had been obedient, Jesus to God, God placed him positionally, this is him. Now remember, here's the point I want you to get now. Now when the member is born by the Holy Spirit into the family of God and has proven to have these virtues, now read with me, that God can see virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, and godliness in him, then God seals him or places him, and that's when you see the sons and daughters of God. So, when these virtues are in us, if the virtues are not there, that's what I was trying to tell you, and I've brought it all the time up and down to tell you to go to the stature of perfect man and study that, because see, we must have these things. And like Richard said that time, he said, I didn't know it until I came down here that it's required, Brother Brown said, in stature of perfect man, it's required that you and I have these things. In this age, it's required. It's not we make a choice. No. If we're going to make the change, we got a choice. We can go by the grave. Yeah. But if we're going to make the change of the body, if we're going to finish this situation of adoption out, then we must have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And we must have the headstone, which is love. All right, now I'm going to make this statement and then back off and won't say no more. Because you see, that's why that it's been waiting, because your prophet said the headstone hadn't come yet. Now, the disciples had these virtues, but they didn't have the headstone. So they wasn't positionally placed. The disciples was not positionally adopted. That's contrary to most people now. I'll probably get something back off the internet on that. That's all right. That's what your prophet said. See? And that's what everybody thinks. As I read what he said, Pentecostal people think, well, we just got everything. When I got the Holy Ghost, bless God, I got all these virtues in me. Well, I just preached a message on what? Being born again, growing in grace and knowledge, and trying to tell you them things of how that we come to that. How do we come to the stature of a perfect man? Well, I need virtue. I just have it. Well, give me some of it when you get it. If it's that easy to get, you can give it to me. Now, I'm not making a joke. I'm making truth. If it's that easy to get, give me some of it. You know? But you see, it's every individual has to have these things. Not just the preacher. Right? It's every member of the body of Christ must have these things. Before the headstone can unite as a unit. Now, you hear what I said? Unit. Which means the entire group. Individuals can have the headstone. But one day, it will be sealed as a unit. Then is when you're going to see the powers of God. You say, you're looking to the future. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm looking at what's taking place now. Because I believe we have sons and daughters of God now that have reached that place. Well, who? Well, look around. And how do we look around? What did we say this morning? How do you try false prophet? By the word. How do you look around to see who's right or wrong? By the word. If you ain't the kind old priest, if you ain't all that, it's how they stay with the word. So your prophet says that when we have these virtues, then we can come to a place to be adopted. All right? But you see, in the meantime, we're in that journey. I didn't get my notes the way I wanted, but that's all right. We're in the journey of a Christian. We've been in the journey of a Christian for all of these years. It's taken all of these years to bring it to the place that we could talk about these things. See? So we preached this long. Talking about something and preaching something is entirely different to me. I'm sorry about that. When I mean talk about something, I mean we can talk about it being in manifestation. I'm not talking just jabbering. I mean that there is a people on the earth today that I believe are standing in the place. And listen, folks, Brother Dale has never taught it and never will teach it to tell you where I'm at, because it's none of your business where I'm at except for one thing. You can draw from whatever you think it is. It's trying to get you to find out where you're at. If you find out where you're at, I ain't worried about you finding out where I'm at. It's finding out where you're at. But if you don't know where you're at, it's like Wade one time was following these boys down through the woods. And my brother-in-law was always real good at directions. And anyhow, they had got turned around. And this little boy had never been in the woods. And they're standing out there, and my brother-in-law was trying to figure out where in the world he was at, where they could get out, you know. And Wade said, this little boy said, I think it's right over that way. And my brother-in-law, he just like me, just blunt what he said, you know, and all. He looked at him, he said, you ain't never been in these woods, and you trying to tell me how to get out? You know. See, that's the way people are. They know nothing about the gospel, but yet they can tell you all about what it's supposed to be. That's where I've always told you. I've got one in my office, there's one in the other Joe's office, there's probably two or three downstairs. I got three computers at the house, but it's the most damaging thing that could ever happen to the people of this message. But it's the most wonderful thing too, because we can use it in a hurry to find what we're hunting. But it's the most damaging because you got preachers, young ones especially, that is, I got 200 quotes on that. Reckon ought to preach it? If you got one that don't sound right, you better not. But that's just one. Well, I didn't know God could be one word off. Did you hear me? I didn't know that he'd be one word off. I thought it would have to tie together. Now, I know the prophet makes slips of the tongues, etc., etc. I know that. So don't go that away with me. Just get the reality of one thing. We've had an opportunity to be able to hear God's word. And gradually, like I said the other day, Brother Moak, talking about that cat eating that grinding stone. I told you that cat eating that grinding stone, you say it can't be done. Yes, it can. Because when he touches that grinding stone, one grain goes off of the grinding stone. His tongue's tore all to pieces, but his tongue will grow back. And after a while, he can get 2 grains. After a while, he gets enough corns on his tongue until he can get 4 grains. You know what's happening? The grinding stone's going away. It can be done. See? To those that have stayed with the message, there's an opportunity of coming to adoption. But to those who have run off after the flimsy, flamsy little things of the people of the message, and there is no opportunity. So you know what? I'm not de-Christianizing nobody. Never have, never will. They just have to go by the grave. I've always told you, if you don't know enough in the message to be able to straighten out by the message your marriage and divorce situation, you're going by the grave. Me, you, all of us. You say you? Yeah. And you. Anybody here want to say they had never kissed nobody? According to your prophet, that's potential adultery. I don't need the grace of marriage and divorce, bless God. Well, what about the spiritual side where you were married to organized religion? Cured a Baptist Bible and converted them to a Baptist faith or a Presbyterian, right, Brother Dave? I think we all need a lot of grace. But if you don't know the message enough to be able to free you from that, where are you going? Marriage and divorce is one of the greatest messages that ought to be preached to everybody in this message, to where they can make a choice. Because if they can't see it by spiritual revelation for God to show them how it's straightened out, they're going by the grave. Sorry. I just tell the truth. I try to tell it like it is, the old saying goes. But do you see what I'm talking about? We have had a wonderful opportunity for 40 years right here in this building to hear the Word of God that has not been caught in no... I stand here right today. And you bring it and tell me. We've never been caught by any of these doctrines. Come show me. All the doctrines of the two souls, the seventh anniversary, no Holy Ghost, all the parousias, all of the things. We looked at them, we studied them, but we cast them off because it didn't fit the rest of the message. Maybe we have become exalted. And God will take care of that. Because he knows how to whip his children. He might accuse us of saying, well, you think you got it all? No, I don't think I got it all. But there's one thing about it. I don't think I don't have anything. I've at least tried to make you available to where you could say you've got something by preaching the message to you. Because to me, that's the only way you can get to virtues. is the preaching of the gospel. I mean, that's simple to me. I don't understand why people don't want to hear that. I don't want them deep things. I might get confused. No, you don't. Like that brother said, he said, don't go down there and get confused. He said what he really was saying, don't go down there and find out you're already confused. See, that's the point. Let's stand together. Think on these things. I believe we're in the most wonderful opportunity that has been ever given to mankind upon God's earth. That's why Brother Branham said, if I had any day in the Bible. Now, is this what he said? He said, if I had my choice of any day in the Bible to be living on earth, what did he say? He said, I'd take this time. He must have known something about this time. He said, it'd been great to have been there when Jesus was there. It'd have been great to have been there when Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. He said, but this is the day. See, everything is dependent upon this day. As I repeat again, if we don't come to the place, the bride of Christ around the world, don't come to the place of this adoption to be finished in the point of the manifestation of sons and daughters of God, then there is no heaven to go to. You see, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, God's Word said, so I don't have to worry about it. Left up to him to take care of it. What we got, Brother Dick?
That's Psalm 152 in the red book.
152 in the red book. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
I hear not today what
tomorrow may bring. Shadows or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth everything, and all of my glory is vain. Why? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confide, not looking forward, not looking back, but to see what's going on. Because if tomorrow the headstone unites with the whole body, we got to wait until tomorrow. So let's be happy and content where we are. And let's make manifest where we're at. Storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the over. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith. Is that what you're doing? Jesus above. Trusting, confide. Being in His great love. From all harm safe, sheltering on, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Anybody have a need?
I know
that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus was close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confide, being in His great love, from all harm safe, in a sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day, He'll return here because there's somebody here that's walking in that faith that will bring him here. Right here is where the change comes. Right here is where everything is linked to. That's why they're waiting on you and I. Trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm's sake, in his sheltering arm. Do you believe it? I'm living by faith. Let's believe it. Our sister just has a fear inside, so let's just pray and believe. Father, we believe your word. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So our sister has this fear. And we cast that down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, you have no rights, so you must remove yourself. Not because I say it, but because the Lord Jesus Christ gave me the authority as a minister of the gospel to speak his word. And then to command you to remove yourself. Because we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just believe it. Anybody else? Great love from all harm's sake in a sheltering arm. I'm living by faith. Are you? And I feel no alarm. Are you living by faith? Good point. Father, you heard our sister. She wants the message to deliver her from any bondage of any spirit or any form or anything that would be trying to torment her mind. And we just ask you, Father, to do that. And Father, if it's our desire, how much more would it be that you want to see it made manifest in us upon earth? So you would always say, fear not. When you came, you always said that point, fear not. So then, sister, fear not. He's here to do whatever we have need of, and Jesus is his name. Anybody else? Anybody else have a need? What evil betide? Father, you know the desire of our sister's heart. She's asking for somebody else, and that's a great thing. She's asking to let her in some way be a help. And Father, we ask you to just do that. And that let everything work out for your honor and glory. That you give strength and glory, and you take care of everything. Because you promised it, so we believe you. In Jesus is your name. Amen. Let's believe it. Anybody else? Trusting, confide. Anybody else that just have a need? From all harm's sake, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Amen and amen. Living by faith and feel no alarm. Amen. You love him? You love him because that's what I want him to know. Brother Perry Green said, Brother Rand told him, said, Brother Perry, when you're praying and talking to the Father, he said, tell him I love him. He wanted God to know that he loved him. So when you're talking to the Lord, just tell him, say, Brother Dale said for me to tell you he loved you. Because I want him to do what's right in my life. But you know what that does? It takes a death to me, but, you know, and sometimes death is hard, isn't it? We want to struggle, we want to work and do. Amen. Amen. We'd ask you for a few of the men, if you would, because we're going to try to take down. Brother Mark wants the tapes in the back room of Brother Branham and all of the things. And Brother Donnie's already said he'd put them in the back of his thing and carry them home for you. So if a few of you will help, we have a couple of drills, and all we got to do is just take them. But don't go down there and start getting them out of the rack. Now, if I get there, if I don't get there, just take the screws out and change it over and lay it down. And then all he's got to do is just take and pick it up and stick it right back up to the wall. You don't have to remove no tapes. It won't take just a little bit. But we're trying to do and rearrange, and we're really having to shift a lot of stuff. So forgive us if Rachel and Monica would make sure in their room that anything, you know, that you need to move around or do, move it somewhere else. Because we're, the Lord willing, that's where we're going to be tomorrow, painting and rearranging and doing. And we thank God for Brother Gary. He's come up and done a lot of work and doing to do things. And it's a little more convenient to where that Richard's on into the back room now with his tape and things. But now, just remember that when he's in there between services and the things, you know, don't go running through there. He is going to lock the doors. You know, don't go running through that little part you used to. We left it to where for safety we can get out. But it's still to where that, you know, Richard can be a little bit more private in what he's doing. So remember that, kids. Don't be trying to run through that back part of the doors and all, because he's going to be in there doing his work. But if you will, Monica and Rachel, if there's anything you need to move to get it, you know, kind of set it out. If you don't, we'll take it down tomorrow and move everything, and we'll try to set everything where you can put it back up, you know. But we're trying to rearrange a lot of things and make it more convenient. I hope you went down and looked at the bathroom. I think it looks real good, and go into Richard's part over there that we've got him set up. Brother Gary has a few more sawings and things to make, but he'll have his own place to where he can do his tapes and the stuff in a little more private than what it is out there when you're running backwards and forth. So we don't have a whole lot to do to this old building, but we're trying. So if you will, if some of you men will just go down there, and we've got a couple of screwdrivers, and all you got to do, as I said, now loosen the tapes and just take the whole rack and lay it down. Don't try to start taking the tapes out of the rack. There's a specific place for them, each one. And Brother Mark wants to put them in his basement. So all he's got to do then is just put him a board on the wall, stick it up there, and screw it up. And he's got the whole message down there in his basement that he can work out and do it and listen to tapes and whatever he wants to do. But we appreciate everything that everybody does and all of the work and things that's done. Nanny and June and Rachel and Lisa and all for coming up and working like everything, getting the water out and getting everything, you know, to fix to where you could do it. And just pray that that tile will just stay to the floor. Because most of you remember about 10 or 15, or no, it's been 30 years ago nearly now, that the guy over here left the water running and we had just put down brand new tile. I'm talking about just a few weeks. We had put down brand new tile throughout the church. And his water came dumped down through here onto us and flooded it. Well, you know, the Lord left it stuck. You know, it could have removed it. See? Now this past week, we've had two times that we've had water. Brand new tile, you know. So maybe the Lord don't want us to have new tile around here. Maybe we ought to change to something else. I don't know what it is, but, you know, that's all right. We ain't worried about it. It's just one of those trials, one of those tests to see what we'll do, you know, and how we'll handle it. And we pray that we will handle it correctly. Amen. Father, we thank you. We ask you now to dismiss us from your love and grace, but never from your presence, Lord, and help us to walk in you. Bless the people on the highway. Be with Wade and June as they're traveling home, or the many different ones, Zach, and for Brother Gary and them as they're traveling and different things, and many others that are, they're, Lord, not here. We don't know. And so we pray that you would just bless each one. Have your way with us and forgive us of our sins. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.